Hi, I'm the Strategist Cowboy. I'm building a fence in my garden, so I may not put out a new episode of Beer Strategy and Warfare every week in the coming months. But so far I have. However, with some odd topics. Today I'm going to review yet another barrel-aged beer. This time fermented in a rum cask instead of a whiskey barrel. It is a high ABV level beer from the mainstream beer brewery Innis & Gunn. This beer is of course an ale. It may be mainstream, but I already know it is good. I'm going to put it up against another Scottish ale, namely a stout. This week's first contestant is thus the could have been a craft beer, very cheap, but still high quality Scottish beer. Innis & Gunn Caribbean Rum Cask. And I put it up against Loch Lomond Silky Stouts.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Okay, are you ready to rumble? Our first contestant this week is the Caribbean Rum Cask from the brewery Innis & Gunn in Edinburgh, Scotland. Let me tell you, you will get your money's worth when you buy Innis & Gunn beers. I'm not getting paid by Innis & Gunn, don't believe that. I frequently buy Innis & Gunn's different beer assortments though, when drinking a casual beer. It is my favorite weekday beer in any flavor, even if I don't drink every day. Sometimes I sit in my garden and drink non-alcoholic beers, just to drink a beer, this time of year. Later on in the summer, it gets too hot to sit in my garden and drink a beer, and there are small flying black insects that are especially attracted to the color yellow. We call them rapsbaggar. In America, I guess they'd call them canola beetles. Very irritating small insects that sit to rest on the book pages I read for the moment. I cannot even turn pages without first blowing them away. They sit to rest on my face and neck, and they are generally all over the place. The beer season in my garden is almost over already. Just a few weeks left, perhaps. The ingredients in the Innis & Gunn Caribbean Rum Cask beer assortment are water, barley malt, hops, and most certainly yeast. It also says on the bottle next, brown label, that it has got natural hints of vanilla, fruit, and spices. It's been barrel-aged in used rum casks for 51 days. And you are not going to believe the low, low price tag for this Scottish beer assortment from the city of Edinburgh. Is it because Scots are supposed to be cheap? I don't think so. We Swedes, too, have a complete region in Sweden called Småland, which are supposed to be inhabited with people known to survive if you put them on a rock with nothing with them. At least there is an old joke saying that. I think there is some truth to it, but one of the most generous persons I have known was from Småland, so it isn't absolute. The soil in Småland is stony and gives a very meager harvest, so it is not strange if they have turned into communities of people who are cheap. I don't think that Smålanders are cheap to others, just within their own household. Many Smålanders emigrated to the US for a better life in the 19th century. I have your back, Småland. I don't know when the expiration date on this particular beer is, but I purchased this beer as late as in very late February 2023. It has been standing in my cooler since. Today it is mid-May 2023. The Innes & Gunn Caribbean Rum Cask beer assortment comes in a size 33 centiliters, i.e. about 11 liquid ounces bottle, about. The bottle label is four-folded and mostly white in color on the front center label, and there is gold coloring on it with a black text saying Innes & Gunn. The upper and lower labels are brown. It says Innes & Gunn and Edinburgh in embossed letters on the glass, just above respectively below the white label on the front of the bottle. The front main bottle label depicts five barrels, three smaller in gold and two grayish, almost transparent barrels below them. The Innes & Gunn Caribbean Rum Cask Ale assortment cost me a mere 22 kroner and 50 ears or cents. 22 kroner and 50 ears is equivalent with $2.20. That is about 80 cents per every 4 ounces of beer. For an ale stored for 51 days in a used rum casket with a 6.8% ABV level, with this known good flavor, it is certainly worth its price. Systembolaget says that the preferred serving temperature on this beer is 10 to 12 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 50 to 54 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperatures. Enjoy it chilled, they say. The Innes & Gunn Caribbean Rum Cask beer assortment has got a 6.8% ABV, 6.8%. How about the experience then? Good aroma. Almost. Well, it's a good aroma. Almost like vanilla aroma. It's got a one finger tall or two fingers tall head. Gross here. So, and it's dark in color, like dark amber in color. Good color. I can see it's dark in the middle, but on the edges of the glass, it's a little bit lighter. So it lets in light on the edges. Yeah. Good. First impression. Rummy. It's rich. I wouldn't say that it's yeasty, but yeah. Somewhat malty in its taste. Well, not so much. It's more roomy, good, thick flavor. Not a typical stout flavor. It's not stout. It's not a stout, but still, it's a good flavor. Taste on my palate is Vanilla. Fruity. No surprise there. It's kind of sweet. Sweet, yes. Very sweet. Oh, licorice. No, not licorice, but liquor-like. It's not like they poured liquor in it. Not at all. This is a brewed beer. This is fermented in a bottle. Barrel. Casket. And it's not very, very bitter. It's got other tastes. It's a little bit hoppy, perhaps. Yeah, but it's more sweet. It's almost candy-like. But not really. But it's fruity. It's I don't know what kind of sugar. Honey. It tastes like honey. Definitely not syrup. Good for them. But I already knew that. A little bit spicy, just a little bit, a hint of it, touch of it. The undertone, does it have an undertone? Well, it's the rum barrel, the rum casket, rum-like. But it's not really an undertone. It's more prevalent. And the carbonation level is pretty low, I think. I think it's pretty low. It's creamy almost. Well, it is creamy. But not chocolate creamy. It's round. It's not edgy in any way. It's well balanced. It's a round creaminess, so to speak. The roundness of it. It's not acidic and there are no aberrations. It's a little bit dark roasted. Maybe not so much, but it's a rum cask that flavors it. I'm not sure. I don't think it's filtered. No, I don't remember if I said that it was filtered, but I don't think it is. I don't think it is. Maybe no. I wouldn't say. Let's see if there are any more flavors within it. I wouldn't say, let's see here. Bread flavored with wort. Well, perhaps. No, I wouldn't say. It would be mixing it up with other flavors. Pineapple? I wouldn't say that either. Pine needle, no. Apricot, no. Light bread, no. Banana, no. Straw, no. Syrup, no. Honey, yes. Well, I already said that. Licorice, no. Clove, no. Fudge. Well, no, I wouldn't say. Chocolate, no. coffee. Yes, a little bit. Raspberry, no. Blueberry, no. Mango, no. Tangerine. Why not tangerine peels? Yeah, perhaps. You could say that. It's got the taste of it anyway, or a flavor. Raisin, no. Vanilla, yes. But I already said that. What about grading then? How many devils do I grade this beer? Let's see here. I never actually graded this beer for the fun of it, for myself, but let's see. I'd say 9 devils out of 10 possible. Yes. It's very, very well worth its price tag. Actually, it's one of the best beers. I mean, for this price. What was it? Let's see here. $22.50? Or? Yeah, $22.50. Crew, no, that's $2.20. It's... a fantastic price. So go buy it if you want to have a drink with your food. I'd recommend it for beef, for steak, or I don't know, maybe for lighter food too. I don't know. But go buy it and sit and drink it. I don't get paid by Insangon. I don't get a cent for them. But this is really a fantastic beer for this price, especially. So, I recommend it to anyone. Okay, let's move on to our next contestant. Our second contestant for this week is the Oatmeal Stout, Silky Stouts beer assortment from the brewery Loch Lomond in Scotland. The beer assortment is brewed with water, oatmeal, malted barley, wheat, hops, and most likely yeast. The hops are of the New Zealand sort Pacifica and the British sort First Gold. The best before date on this particular beer can is mid-September 2023. I purchased this beer in late December 2022. It has been standing in my cooler since. At present date, it is mid-May 2023. The can contains 44 centiliters, i.e. about 15 liquid ounces. The can is mostly blue, with a lighter bluish woman's head whose hair can also be interpreted to be waves on a lake beach. This Silky Stout beer assortment cost me 35 Swedish kronor, i.e. about $3.40. That is 92 cents per 4 ounces of beer. The preferred serving temperature for the Silky Stout beer assortment is, according to Systembolaget, 12 to 14 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 54 to 57 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperatures. The Silky Stouts beer assortment has got a 5% ABV. 5%. How about the experience then? got an oatmeal aroma almost. Or at least that's what I figure. It's got a one finger tall head, a little bit more. And it's dark black, dark, really dark black. First impression. My first impression is always, or almost always, that it's a good beer. And so this time is my first impression is that this beer is a good beer. It's fairly rich. I'd say that it got some dark bread taste, flavor even. So it's bread-like, but what bread? What kind of bread? Well, perhaps... Pumpernickels? Always the pumpernickels. I'm not sure. Some dark bread. It's not yeasty. I don't think so. Not much anyway. The taste on my palate is, well, it's a complex beer, but some wheat, oatmeal-like taste, not surprising. It's... a little bit sweet. Actually, it's less sweet than the former beer. And I like it because of that. Because the former beer didn't get a 10 for me. 10 devils out of 10 possible. Because it was a little bit too sweet. But this beer is more perfectly balanced in the sweetness. At least. It's not very bitter. Rest of it. A little bit hoppy, pretty much hoppy. It's not candy-like. I wouldn't say that it's fruity either. Not very spicy, or even at all. Yeah, some spice, but not much. A little bit. It's perhaps more than I thought. I don't know, but... it struck me as a little bit spicy in the undertone. Suddenly it struck me, but no, I wouldn't say that it's much spicy. I don't know if it's got spices in it. Combination level, I don't know. Yet. It's not creamy. It's not acidic. And there are no aberrations. It's dark roasted. A little bit coffee-like. I don't think it's filtered, at least not much. Has it got any other flavors or tastes? But it's not so complex as I first thought, but rather the opposite. It's not very many flavors in it, but it's good flavors, those there are. Excuse me, it's got some carbonation level. Yeah, excuse me. I'd say that it's got bread flavor with wort taste in it. Coffee, like I said, raspberry, no, blueberry, no, mango, no, tangerine, raisin. No, it's what's it called? Let's see here. It's called oatmeal, yeah. Oatmeal and wheat, yeah, mostly. Some malted barley. And there's no surprise in that. That's what they state. But I can't find more flavors or taste in it than this, but it's a good taste. So that's good. What about grading then? Well, difficult. Not so distinguished. Good beer, but not very interesting. I'd say 7 devils out of 10 possible. It's a sort of blend or something. And not very thick to be stout. For a start. So 7 devils out of 10 possible. But it's much of a, if it hadn't had this high price tag, what was it, 35, 34 kronas, 35 Swedish kronor. If it hadn't had that high of a price, I'd recommend this beer for everyday drinking. But a stout recommended for everyday drinking is not really what a stout should be. But it's not a bad beer, not at all. It's good. And it slides down the throat very easily. So it's 5%. It's a perfectly good beer, but not very distinct, so to speak. So therefore, it doesn't get an 8. But it could have gotten an 8. Okay, what? That's a grading. Absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines, military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. My name is Roger Klang, K-L-A-N-G. This week's lesson has little to do with military matters. You may think that it is of dismissal importance, since I am no academic on the subject or even nearby subjects in this discipline. But why not listen to the end? You may become pleasantly surprised. It may come as a shock to you, but I'm not an academic in modern warfare either. Anyway, I call this week's lesson How Our Cerebral Cortex Learn. Okay, here's how I think that my brain learns. But first, let us not forget that we in essence have three brains. Cerebral cortex, which is doing the deductions, and the reptilian brain, where our instincts are based in. The third brain is the repetitional cerebellum, in which we learn how to walk and chew chewing gum simultaneously. But this brain cannot think for itself, and it has no emotional center. Our cerebral cortex is tightly linked to our reptilian brain, in that it was developed simultaneously with the reptilian brain. At least it is what I believe. If we hadn't had the reptilian brain, we would in essence be zombies or non-aware computers. Think about it. Every rational decision you have ever made was aimed at you improving your chances to survive and reproduce and take care of your offspring and compete against other tribes. You may have participated in sports. Sports are, albeit that they have long-time health benefits for your body, also risky for your well-being and your physical functions. But they often have the benefit of attracting the opposite sex. Same with military service. It is risky for your well-being and your physical constitution, and even your life. But serving often have the benefit of attracting the opposite sex. In the case of female service personnel, there might be other awakening sentiments that serve to increase the importance for her role in society. You may at some time in your life have wanted to build a house for your family. You may have bought a car to be able to get to work and buy groceries for your family. You may even have taken care of your parents in their old age. Family is important when raising children. What if your whole core family gets cut off from you, parents, losing your jobs? Who would you turn to? Your neighbors? More likely your old and retired mom and dad. If we take a look on irrational decisions that people make then, actual suicides and not just suicide attempts must be founded in the most irrational feeling of them all, depression. How then can human feelings be 100% rational? They are, of course, not. But neither are animals' feelings 100% rational. But emotions in combination with cognitive thinking are necessary in order for us to have a personality And we need that to have a self-awareness, or otherwise we wouldn't have had an I that can be conscious. Our consciousness could not have come to be without both our emotions and our cognitive thinking. Think about it. Even a fly has a survival instinct and reproducing drive based on basic emotions and basic cognitive abilities. However, needlehead small insects doesn't seem to have the survival instinct, so there is probably a limit size for any living organism with this feature. However, needlehead small insects have a reproducing drive and an urge to eat, and it scans the area for mating partners and nutrients. Plants and trees usually don't have the ability to move around. That is why they have no survival instinct or any instinct. There just isn't any need for it. But how do I think that humans learn then? I think that I myself learn. If we start from a certain basic early life knowledge, albeit small, by seeking answers to questions that I need to have answered in order to proceed with my learning, even if it takes years for me to finally get the answer I'm searching for. But it may also be that my cognitive, very natural logical wiring in my head ends up with falsifying my preconditional belief. Of course, I can simultaneously have multiple, even hundreds of questions I need to get an answer to. When I do get an answer to any one of them, a tangled juncture is created in my brain, and the neural network eventually gets more dense. This will lead to further questions that I need to get an answer to, and new cognitive discoveries starts from there. And so my learning increases. You would perhaps think that the questions that I want to have answered would increase exponentially from year to year, but they don't. My calculator in my head does most of the deduction. I never engage in for me nonsense activities, albeit when I was an adolescent, solitaire, for instance, was a good lesson to learn. It's Occam's razor that speaks, at least for me. I picked this following up from Sabine Hossenfelder's video about ChatGPT. She's wrong, though. She asserts that ChatGPT is conscious. Here it goes. The Chinese Room. John Searle, the philosopher, came up with a thought experiment he called, quote, the Chinese Room, end quote. The Chinese Room was just an imaginary room with an English-speaking person in it, holding a rule book for the Chinese language's vocabulary and grammar. Let us call this English-speaking person John Searle, since I believe he used himself as first person in this thought experiment. The only way for the English-speaking John Searle inside of the Chinese room to interact with the outside world is through an opening slit in the door. Now suppose that someone drops a note written in Chinese through the opening slit in the door to John Searle sitting with the rulebook inside of the Chinese room. John Searle uses Chinese rulebook to translate the scrabble on the note, and he returns the result to the outside person through the opening slit in the door. One would imagine that the outside person believes that there is someone inside the room who understands Chinese. But in reality, John Searle doesn't understand a word of the Chinese language. He is just following the rulebook he has received. Searle argues that this is the way a computer program works. that the computer lacks any true understanding. The computer is just following the rules. John Searle was, of course, right. There are two common objections to Searle's argument. The first objection is that the system which understands Chinese isn't just consisting of the English-speaking person inside of the room, but instead it consists of both the English-speaking person, including the rulebook. Saying that the English-speaking person doesn't understand Chinese is a correct assessment, but the assessment doesn't give an answer to the question, because in John Searle's analogy, the person does not constitute the computer program singularly. The second objection to Searle's analogy is that it might well be correct that the English-speaking person inside of the Chinese room and the rule book don't understand Chinese. But that is because the input is so limited. Language lacks the physical information that we have learned to associate with words. A software algorithm that received the same physical information could perhaps develop understanding as we can. Of course, computer algorithms have become many times more advanced since 1980. But it won't matter if the algorithms become as smart as even God can be. There will be nothing that can experience the ever so smart calculations. It would only be an immensely smart pocket calculator. Consider a cow. A cow can see and compute everything around her. She can see cars passing by her pastures. Does she truly have an understanding of cars and its purpose? She may understand its purpose, that people get from place A to place B in their cars. But she does not have an understanding of the technical explanations for how cars work, and she will never be able to understand it. She is the equivalent of the English-speaking person in the Chinese room. Albeit she is experiencing something that the English-speaking person don't, yet she isn't as smart as a human. She doesn't have to understand something to actually experience something. That is what is so fantastic with living creatures. No pun intended. An ever so smart computer could never experience what a cow can experience. And it has got nothing to do with the cow being able to watch stuff from outside of the Chinese room. We were talking about understanding and self-awareness, weren't we? And since a man can be brighter than another man put inside of a Chinese room, just like a cow is less smart than any bright man, the intelligence level of the cow should be of no crucial importance for the argument. Thank you, and see you later, alligator, at a wild crocodile.